And we're so grateful tonight for his love and his favor. His loving kindness, as David said, is more than life to me. Amen. I'm always amazed every day by his grace. Talking about Christmas, somebody came up to me, trying to think what, if it was yesterday, I was working or whatever. Somebody came up to me and they asked me what I got for Christmas. I'm like, well, I didn't really get anything. I mean, I didn't really care, and they're kind of whatever. I said, well, you know what? I said, God's already given me everything I want anyway. I said, he's given me loving favor and his kindness. He's given me redemption. I've got a wife and four kids. They all love the Lord. They're typically healthy. Of course, my wife's sick tonight, but I mean, she doesn't have any, she's not bedridden for days or whatever. They're healthy for all intents and purposes. And what more could I ask for? Amen. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. So I didn't get that Diablo VT 1994 Lamborghini I wanted, but that's okay. I probably get in trouble with it anyway. So I don't even really care. We're just going to burn up anyway, isn't it? Of course, I might burn it up before the time comes if I don't change the oil enough. But anyway, whole nother story there. Book of Acts, chapter 17 tonight. We'll try not to keep it too long with me just talking about Christmas and what kind of car I wanted to get. But anyway, so praise the Lord. No, I mean that though. I just thank the Lord. What more could I ask for? I've got everything. I'm the guy that's got it all. I feel like I'm the most blessed person on the earth. Amen. And I guess in one sense I am. And you can be too if you believe it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's all right. Acts chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 5 tonight. And we'll just read down. Sister Betty, good to see you back. I hope you had a good trip, by the way. Praise the Lord. Welcome back to the cold. Sorry. Hey, at least all the bugs died here. So you got that going for you. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 17, verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, and this is where I'm going with this tonight, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Well, I tell you what, they're shaking people up. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. I talk about the Apostle Paul. He said everywhere he went and preached, they either had a revival or they had a riot. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. A gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight, Lord. We look at this story of the disciples of old, of people that trusted and believed in you with all their hearts. And Lord, they were not mighty senators or politicians or rich men, but yet the rulers of the cities could testify that these were world shakers and movers and men that had turned the world upside down. They realized the power of Christianity and the life of these common people was something they could not contain or control or apprehend. And the power was the thing that they were fearful of because it defied the order of men and the rationale of the people in those days. Oh God, I pray tonight, may the Holy Ghost and fire come and stir our hearts, Lord, to believe not just for things that are possible, but for things that are impossible, Lord. May you take homes and lives and churches and situations in our life which the devil has tried to lay claim to and turn it upside down on its head tonight, Lord. May you take every device of the enemy and turn against him tonight, Father. May he come and shake us out of the doldrum and the weariness of life and inspire us once again with vigor and strength by your Spirit, I pray. And Lord, may you come and bless each one that's gathered here tonight. Lord, I'm thankful because the most important one has attended service tonight, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that you're here tonight, Lord Jesus, and that you're faithful and that you're always there for us and that you hear our prayers, Lord. Come and speak now to these people, we pray, and I'll give you all the praise and glory. We will testify of your goodness and mercy as we leave this place. For we ask it now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You seated tonight. Just nice to have a little group here tonight. You say, well, I wish we had more people here. Well, that's all right if they're saved, of course. Amen. I'm not saying that others aren't saved, but sometimes we look and we think it's about having lots of people around. I've preached to thousands. I preached to one person at a time. One time I was in a small church, a couple people went out the bathroom. I thought, well, here we go. Hope they don't miss most of the service. So you know what, God, but that doesn't limit God. Some of the most amazing things that's happened in the Bible, some of the greatest miracles have happened when only three people are around, maybe two people, amen. So that doesn't limit God. So I don't want you you get that in your mind tonight? Well, it's just a little thing here tonight. Hey, Jesus is here tonight. God is here tonight. And guess what? God's favorite people in the world are here tonight. Now, they're not all here, but there are other places too. But God's got some of his favorite people. His own children are here tonight. Amen. So we can have a good time. Amen. You might not think much about it, but you know what? These people in the house of Jason, most people looked at them, didn't think much about them either. They said, these are just common folk. These are just a bunch of nobodies. But somebody knew who they were. They said, we're afraid of what's going on in that house over there. It's shaking the entire Roman Empire. It's got Caesar quaking in his boots. It's got Festus and Herod and all these kings. They're just shaking. Amen. Look, they'd seen what happened to King Herod. He got smoked by an angel. Is that right? There was something different about these people. Though they seemed like a little or an ordinary or a common people, but there was something special about them. God had his hand on them. God's got his hand on you tonight. You believe that? I'd like to take maybe just a simple thought tonight, if this is all right. And we're coming into the new year, of course, so this is totally irrelevant. But I'll talk about raising a new order tonight. Amen? Sometimes I call it a New Year's revolution. I've preached this idea of New Year's revolution as opposed to resolution. Amen? And all I say this is when a man comes into contact with Almighty God, it does not fill that man with just a resolution. Amen? It does not simply give him a resolution or a desire just to be better. Amen? But it changes the very nature of a man or a woman, their very paradigm, the very nature that is in them. Amen? I think of the original colonists here in America, when they became discontent, with the British rule over their land. Amen? Now, they were dumping tea in harbors and everything else. Amen? They weren't just grumbling and complaining about like some of us do when we're not happy with our lot in life. Well, praise the Lord anyway. Amen. Well, I'm going to complain about taxes. I'm going to complain about this. I'm going to complain about the government. They were doing more than complaining. Amen. Look, they did not simply petition the British government for a change in policy. They did not simply grumble and complain to their neighbor about their lot in life. Amen. They said, we're going to have a resolution. Amen. Not a resolution, rather a revolution. Is that right? We're going to do away with the old order because no matter what happens, the old order can no longer satisfy us. It can no longer produce what we're looking for. We need to have a revolution. We want to have a republic. We want to be represented. We want to have a democracy. Is that right? And the only way for them to do that was to dispose of the old order. Amen. They had to cut every tie and abandon everything. Is that right? They had to put it all on the line. Is that right? They knew they would be branded as traitors by the British, that people were going to look down upon them. They were going to have to risk their own lives for change. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think of these figures in the Bible, I believe they're revolutionaries, amen? The Roman Empire could look at them, they could cut their heads off and feed them to lions. Why'd they do that? Because they saw them as enemies of the Roman Empire. Now listen, they were as much an enemy of Rome as Rome wanted them to be. Rome could have accepted them, Rome could have accepted what God was doing, and they could have blessed it, and God would have blessed them. Is that right? Because it was a government, because it was men, they refused to repent, God threw their empire down. Is that right? Every empire that's risen up in the Bible and throughout history, when they've come against God's people and they've come against this Bible and the Word of God, God has always brought it to nothing. Yes. Amen, somebody. Is that right? You can look at the world that we live in today and the world makes fun of Christianity. They make fun of the idea of it for the most part. But yet what most of the world has today, they owe to the influence of Christianity. I'm just talking about the natural. Amen. These are unsaved people, but the influence of this revolution of Christianity was so profound. Amen. You look at the way that women are treated today and the way that children are treated today and the rights that they have today. They did not enjoy these rights in the Roman Empire like they do today. Amen. They did not enjoy these things. They were treated like property, treated like slaves. The way that children were treated, they were treated like sexual slaves from the time they were little because a child was no different than a servant. Is that right? And they were treated that way. And the influence of Christianity is what brought change. Amen. You look at the Renaissance and the arts and the science and all the different universities and education that exists today, and they make fun of Christianity. Modern science makes fun of it. But yet science owes itself to Christianity because most of science throughout the Renaissance was supported by the church. Amen. And arts and science, and I'm saying all this, and what you say, why are you getting into all this? I want you to understand the natural effect of a Christian life in the midst of an unsaved people. Amen. You can work at a job and you can go to a school and people might not even be saved, but the effects of the Son of Prosperity being there. There's a Joseph in the house and they might not know, but they owe their job to you. They owe their future to you. Whatever kind of blessing is upon them, it comes from you being in their midst. Amen? And they might not recognize who's even in their midst, where the apples are falling from, but there's a tree planted somewhere. Praise God, I believe it's planted in me tonight. I believe it's planted in you tonight. Is that right? I believe we're part of that original tree, that bride tree when she's restored. Brother Bram said it's the original tree of life. Listen, he said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Is that right? Listen, people getting blessed by you all the time and they don't even realize it. It's the effect of the life of Christianity. The blessing is on you. Oh my, son of I, praise the Lord, son of Jacob. The blessing's on you tonight. Listen, listen, your Egypt's going to survive. Maybe a layoff, maybe a problem at the factory, whatever you're going through, amen. They're going to survive because there's a son of God there. Amen. Well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Listen, the Christian life is not a reformation of the old man. It's his death and his destruction that a new man can live on the inside. That's why so many churches struggle today. That's why so many people in churches struggle today. They're still married to their first husband. Amen. They never, they tried to annul it. They tried to make eyes with another. The Bible says, if you do that book, Romans chapter 7, is that right? If you're still married to your first nature, if you're still married to that old man of sin, amen, you're nothing but an adulterer. You're just a spiritual adulterer, an adulteress, is that right? The old man must die. And so many people, they want to be double married and this and that. Is that right? Talk about spiritually speaking, amen? They want to have two husbands. They want to have a sugar daddy on the side, Satan, and you let them sin and do whatever they want, and they want to come to church and Jesus is going to save their soul and treat them well. You can't be married to two husbands spiritually, amen? Well, praise the Lord. Look, you can't sup at the table of devils and the table of God. You can't drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Is that right? Amen. That's why so many people struggle. They're on the fence. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Bram makes a statement here. I thought this is very interesting. I want to undo my tie here. Oh, crinkle, crinkle, crinkle. Praise the Lord. Brother Bram makes this statement in the sermon Investments. Amen. Is this all right tonight? He makes a statement. I think it was very interesting how he puts it. Because he said, Jesus said, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, you know the story, he comes out of a man, he wanders into dry places. Brother Bram says, did you notice? He never said when he's cast out of a man. But when he goes out by his own will, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man and he returns back to find this man in his house that he has lived in has been swept and garnished, then he goes and gets seven other devils, demons, unclean spirits, enters into this man. And the last estate of this man is seven times worse. Amen. You look at seven church ages. Is that right? They've had reformation. They've had moralism. They've had humanism. Is that right? All it's done is make it seven times more loaded up with devils than it was at the beginning. That's all it's done. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. He says it's seven times worse than it was the first. Did you notice the devil went out by his own will and returned by his own will? He says if the house had already been occupied when he returned, he would not have been able to get in. But you see, he just found it swept and garnished. But the Bible says it's a very beautiful picture of a moralist, as we would think it today, of a man that he's going to go to heaven because he quits gambling, or maybe he quits running with a woman that wasn't his wife, or he stopped drinking on New Year's Day and he turned over a new leaf and he joined the church. See? You see? He isn't really converted. He's just a moralist, and the devil's using moralists. Well, praise the Lord. He said, how's the devil get away with this? He's using moralists. They like to sit in the church and they like to preach in the pew. Well, praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah anyhow. Sometimes he's behind the pulpit, the moralist. The devil's using him to tell you it's okay, you live in a good, clean life. I'll preach you fear, I'll say nice things about you. Amen. They go to church, they pay their tithes, they don't smoke, they don't drink, but yet there's never been a revolution. There's never been a death on the inside. Hallelujah, somebody. This is why we've got problems in churches today. I'm talking about message churches, amen. Somewhere we forgot to preach to people, straight's the gate and narrow's the way, and few there be that find it. Now we want to let everybody know they're all going to make it. They're all bright and they're all saved. And the problem is, you start watering down the gospel, it loses the strength of it. Amen? Yes. Well, hallelujah. Listen, the devil, he'll sit in a nice, formal, nice looking church, nice people, nice church going, godly looking people, maybe a nice message church somewhere in there. They're just kind of just a little formal. Praise the Lord. They're just kind of a little, you know, stodgy, maybe just a little stuffy, just a little bit. And the devil says, you know what? I feel comfortable here. I'm going to go out on my own will and I'll come right back. Amen. I tell you what, I want the devil to go to a church like mine. I tell you what, if he comes to church, I want him to come somewhere where he says, you know, it's too hot in here for me. Man, they got the fireplace turned all the way up. I don't want to come back. Yeah. Amen. See, the devil's just too comfortable coming back to some of our homes. That's why he never leaves us alone. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Yeah. It's the truth anyhow. Amen. We say, why is the devil always tormenting me? Well, you invite him back in all the time. Yeah. Well, hallelujah. Yeah. Well, I turned over a new leaf and joined the church. He's just a moralist. And the devil's using moralists to go out and make a foolish representation. Look, you ain't impressing nobody. Amen? Well, it's a foolish representation when really the real power of the living Christ isn't there. And he says this is the world is wanting to see Christ. Amen? I believe that's why the world is dying today. They're dying to see a representation of Christ. Amen? They're dying for it. That's why it's so important for us to have the real thing. Because you might be the only Jesus Christ somebody will see in their whole life. And what kind of representation? Are they seeing bitterness? Are they seeing formalism? Are they seeing the days of miracles is past? Or is there a real power there? They say, I don't know what it is. There's something different about them. I know lots of people that go to church. I know lots of people that read the Bible. I know lots of people that claim to be a Christian. But there's something different about that guy. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it. But there's something different, amen. There's something different about them. They're peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Well, hallelujah, bro. I think it was John Wesley. They asked him one time how his meetings were so powerful, his open air meetings. He said, well, if a man will catch on fire for God, he said, people will come from miles around to watch him burn. Amen. I believe that's the secret tonight. Let's just get on fire for God. Amen. Quit trying to make something happen. Let's be the change. Let's catch on fire. Amen. Let's be the one. Say, God, consume me. Let me be a sacrifice. If my life has to be a house on fire, amen, let it be, oh God. Yeah. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Listen, we're not here tonight, hopefully. Amen. We're not here to produce some sort of religious work after the old system. That's what they tried to do in the church ages. That's why it failed. Amen. They're trying to produce something after the old way. Well, you need a revolution. Amen. And I'm not talking about the halls of Congress tonight. I'm talking about in the corridors of our heart. That's where we need revolution tonight. We say, you know what? I'm as willing to die out to myself today as I was 10 years ago, as I was 20 years ago. Amen. Listen, some of us are willing to die out at first. I was talking about this a little bit on Sunday, amen? Some of us start out very willing to pay the price because we ain't got nothing to pay anyway. Oh, listen, somebody, it's easy to pay the price when there's nothing on the line. And then when God begins to bless you like he did Saul, like he did these other men in the Bible, like Hezekiah, amen? And he begins to bless you. If you're not careful, it becomes harder. Suddenly you've got so much to lose. Look, ain't nothing for you to lose anyway, nothing that God didn't give you in the first place. That's the secret of it. God gave it to you in the first place. Amen. You didn't have it to begin with. Well, praise the Lord. Paul said we came into this world with nothing and of a certainty we're taking nothing when we leave. Amen. Well, that's the truth anyhow. The other thing you're taking with is your character. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. You ain't taking your gold or your 401k. You ain't taking your cushy job. You ain't taking your nice three-piece suit. Amen. Well, hallelujah. It's the truth anyhow. But the man tells a story, and maybe you're familiar with the story. I'm just going to paraphrase it tonight, if that's all right. Take my time for a few minutes. But he's talking about he goes to a place, and there's several people they're mentally troubled. And he says this young lady comes up to him, and like I said, maybe you know the story tonight. But this young lady comes up, and he asks her, "What happened to you? What's wrong in your life? You seem pretty normal, actually." And she said, "Well, when I was a young girl, I was running around with a boy, and we were going out. My parents warned me because he smoked and he carried on and did these things." And she was raised in a nice Christian home, amen? And we like to think that makes us safe, amen? Well, praise the Lord. Listen, I've sat in churches. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm going to go here now. I was talking to a man the other day, and I was talking about how he'd known these people in this family, and this young lady, she'd grown up, and she'd become an adult, and she ran out, and she started cutting her hair and doing other things. And this man, he come to me, and he said, "Well, I just don't believe that could have happened. She was raised different than that." I thought to myself, her and how many other people, amen? How many other people in this message were raised? Look, that didn't produce a change, amen? Well, I just can't believe it. Well, that's the problem, amen? You can't believe it because of the way they were raised or because you knew when they were a little kid. Listen, without a new birth, God don't have no grandchildren, amen? I don't sit there and tell my kids, "Well, guess what? You're saved. You got the Holy Ghost because your daddy's a preacher. You go to a message church." I wouldn't lie to my kids like that. I wouldn't do them dirty like that because that's exactly what I've been doing. I tell them, "You got to get saved the same way daddy got saved. You got to get saved the same way mommy got saved." Amen. Listen, I don't care if you're Brother Branham's kids or whose kids you are. You all got to get saved through the same pig pen of a mess. Every birth I've ever seen is a mess, and it's true anyhow. Well, praise the Lord. She said she was running, praise the Lord, I'm getting back my story here. She ran around with this boy. She said one night she put something, drugged her, drank her, or candy or something, I think it was. And so the next day she woke up and her morals was ruined. And she said after then everything started to go downhill. She said that she started drinking, and she went to a church. She said, I joined a church. It was a Catholic, the Good Shepherd's Home, the Catholic church. She said, I joined that. She said, that didn't help. She said, it got worse. I become a streetwalker, a prostitute, she said. She said, I got drunk and I was a streetwalker. She said, I quit that. She said, I ended up going to a women's penitentiary for 2 years. And when she got out of that, guess what she did? She joined another church. Well, that worked so well the first time. Well, you can imagine how this goes, of course. Amen. She said, it didn't do a bit of good. She said, I heard about your meetings and I thought I'd come down here and see if you could help me out. Well, that's a nice moral way to say, I hope it works out. So that's not faith, is it? Amen. Well, anyhow, he says, I looked at her, and she was a beautiful woman, and she said, now I look at you, and you seem normal enough. She says, haven't you ever had a desire just to be a wife and to raise kids and to take care of your husband and this and that? And she said, that's all I've ever dreamed of, Brother Branham. I'd love to do that. And he said, well, a woman's got that kind of a desire. She can't be all bad. And so he said, I tell you what, I want to pray with you. And she began to pray, and they prayed together. And she's like a lot of people, amen. She got done after about 5 minutes or so, whatever. She got done praying and said, well, Brother Branham, I feel better. I've turned over a new leaf. Now, praise God, Brother Branham's not one of these wishy-washy, spineless preachers like some of these guys we got nowadays. Well, you look like you're better. She says, go with God, you'll be fine, amen. No, Brother Branham knew better. He said, now, yeah, you turned over a leaf, and guess what? You're going to turn it right back tomorrow. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for an honest preacher. He said, there's a problem here. He said, the reason you have this kind of a desire, but you follow these things, I think it's something else. He says, I think you've got a devil on you. She says, I think, you know why? I've always felt that that's what it was. He says, I want you to get down and pray again. And this time I want you to stay there till something happens. Amen. Well, there was a good idea. And then don't just pray a prayer. Pray through. Get an answer from God. Well, hallelujah, somebody. I think that's a good idea. She got down. She started to pray again. She said, can I get up? She said, no, you just keep praying. Yeah. Amen. All right. I like it. You stay there. You just keep praying. He said something finally happened. She said she caught on fire. A spark lit. Hey, man, something changed. She said, something changes now. You go, sister, it'll never happen again. Is that right? Listen, she had to get to a place, amen, where she wasn't just hoping that this is going to fix things. Right. Amen, we do that. Well, I just hope it's going to work out and it's going to be this, that. No, something had to come and change the situation, amen. I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but I want you to realize something happened to her to put her in that situation. Listen, we all come out of different kinds of homes and backgrounds and things, and we are the way we are, and we wrestle with the things we wrestle with because of what we come from, amen? Something happened to us. Look, you can't change it anymore than you can put yourself in that situation, amen? It takes something else to change it, just like it took something to put you there, amen? Listen, Brother Ramsey's telling this story. He talks about when he was a little boy, they had the First World War, and they made a resolution. We're never going to have wars again. We've got nerve gas, we've got all these things. We'll never have war again. He said, we've had wars. Hey man, look, your best desires and your best intentions doesn't change the facts. It doesn't change the situation. Amen. You say, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. That by itself don't do you no good. Something has to bring a change. Listen, Brother Ben talks about driving a stake in the ground. You ever hear Brother Ben talk about take your stake and drive it in the ground? Why do you drive a stake into the ground? If you're climbing a mountain, why do you drive a stake? Amen. The purpose of driving a stake is because it stops you. If you should ever slip or fall or something happens, it stops you from falling below a certain point. Amen. You can look at that and say, you know what? There's a security there. No matter what happens, I can never go back below that point. There's a stake that's been driven. Now listen, the devil might have drove a stake in your life a long time ago. He might have drove one when you were 8 years old and you were afraid of a dog and it caused you to be nervous. The rest of them. But God's come to drive a new stake in the ground. Look, God don't want you to be limited by this. He wants to give you a new position. And that position will limit you from falling into sin. Amen. That's what will keep you when the chips are down. That's what will preserve you when temptations are on every side. God has produced a change. Well, hallelujah. Listen, something happened to you again. That's why you're saved tonight. Amen. Brother Ben was preaching to a crowd here one time, and he says this. He says, Father, it's such a wonderful crowd. It's fine faith. It's easy to speak to them. Now, for you that are here Sunday, you know I'm talking about the three cycles. Amen. You've got humanistic approach. It's where you're just kind of hoping, and you're hoping it's going to work out. Amen. He says, but Father, may that faith just move up now into another cycle now. Step right outside of human thinking. Amen. Look, when you make resolutions, I tell you what, I got resolutions. Hey man, you're not supposed to, Brother Bam said, don't make resolutions. Is that right? I tell you what, I'm trying to resolve another notch in my belt buckle here the other way because I don't want to have to buy new clothes. Is that right? Listen, resolutions is here, amen, but there's got to be something higher up that takes place. And there's a reason, and I'm talking about Christians now. I'm talking about genuine Christians. Something happened to us one day and it brought us up into another realm, but we sink back down. Well, praise the Lord. I got a couple of amens. And then somewhere along the line, we got back into human effort, trying to do this by ourselves again. Amen. Listen, I've got four kids at home, and my goal as a daddy is when they grow up, they don't come to me for money every week. Amen. My goal is that they don't live in my house till they're 40. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My goal is that I don't have to read a book off. I don't have to read for them. They should learn to read for themselves. Amen. My goal as a daddy, as a parent, is that they will at some point in their life get to a point where they don't need me anymore. Now, at least not in the capacity that they do now, where they're no longer dependent on me. Amen. But yeah, I want you to understand that in the spiritual, it's not the same. Amen. We try to do that. Say, well, you know, I'm all grown up. I'm a mature Christian. And so now I can do this and I can do that. You can do nothing. Except he shows it to you first. That's maturity in the Word. It's not independence. It's dependence on God. Amen. We started out being dependent on God, but we realized just how much we really did need him the more we went on. Look, I don't need God less today than I did before. I need him more today than I did before. Amen. And the recognition of that is why I'm standing here tonight. It's the difference between the carnal and the spiritual. Not a recognition that I don't need God as much as I've somehow outgrown my need for God or my reliance on God. Quite the opposite. Right. Well, praise the Lord. Sure. He said, they have heard this. Well, there's a lot of people in church. They have heard this. They've been taught this by their pastors. They've looked for it for years and years to come. But now I pray, Father, you'll make it known to us tonight that you are not dead, but alive forevermore and living among your people as the lily of the valley amongst all the other flowers, the flower fairest of 10,000. Amen. You say, what were you going with this, brother? I want you to understand, I'm like a lot of people. I'm my own worst critic. Amen. Maybe some of you know what I'm talking about tonight. Amen. I used to really struggle with it. Amen. Especially as a young Christian, you look at your life and you struggle. Amen. And I told a story. I think I might have told it here one time, but it's happened to me a couple of years back. I was driving to work about 5:30 in the morning. I was praying, which that's a good idea, by the way. Amen. That's a good idea. And I was praying. I was on the way to work one morning. I had become kind of downcast about certain things in my life. And I wondered why this was going on and why that. And I seemed like I was struggling so much. And I was praying that morning on the way to work at 5:45. I said, God, why am I going through all these things? And why do I feel so unworthy? And why do I feel so incapable? Ever get that way? Amen. Well, the prophet did, so it's not just me. You feel like you can't do nothing for God, and you feel like you're so worthless, amen? And God spoke to me that morning like he does. He spoke to me that morning in my car as I was driving to work. He says, son, I want you to remember one thing. The world's not worthy of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, the world's not worthy of you. You read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and you read about these people. Amen. Look, these are people that had struggles. These are people that had trials. These are people that people thought were nobodies. Amen. But the Bible declares the world was not worthy of them. Amen. Listen, so many times we come out of a broken home, maybe, or a dysfunctional family. We've got a scattered past or a checkered past. And we carry that baggage the rest of our life. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. A couple amens there. Got a couple of you still struggling, amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's the truth anyhow. Listen, I remember Smith Wigglesworth said something. He said, there's three certainties in life about your past. He said, the devil has not forgotten it. And he says, you've not forgotten it, but God has forgotten it. And listen, the devil, for the rest of your life, you say, I hope I get over this someday. You're going to remember it the rest of your life, whether you like it or not. But it doesn't have to rule you, amen. Listen, you've gone through things and you've made mistakes and you've got problems, amen? But that doesn't have to define who you are. God says, I forgot about it. God says, that's not what I look at when I see you. That might be what you see in the mirror. That might be what your neighbors think. That might be what the people at church think. But that's not what God sees. God don't see the home you come out of, amen? He don't see your past. He don't see your mistakes. He sees your representation. Amen. Before you done made mistakes in your marriage, before you made mistakes in church, before you made mistakes in your life, before you made mistakes in your home, you were there before the foundation of the world. And that's what he sees. Yes, sir. He says, I knew all them things were going to happen. I saw you the same way anyhow. And what I saw was before all those things. And when all them things are gone, that's still what I'll see. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, my daddy, I love my daddy. Praise the Lord. But yeah. He come out of a home that was kind of bad. My dad, I love my daddy. He's got a lot of good qualities about him, but my dad, for all his strength, you know, he made a resolution years ago that he wasn't going to be like his dad. And in a lot of ways, he wasn't like his dad, but I remember my grandma years ago before she passed away, my dad was talking about something one day at the dinner table. We'd gone over to eat, and of course, my grandfather passed away at that point. And she said something made him real mad. My grandma didn't usually make him mad. We said, you know what? You act just like your dad. Boy, that's about the last thing you want to tell somebody that don't want to be like their dad. My wife's not here tonight, but, well, never mind. I don't get in that. Praise the Lord. Look, his resolve was a good starting place, but it never brought the change that he needed in his life. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Is that right? Like a leopard can't change his spots. Look, you can't add a cubit to your own stature. Is that right? My dad and I tell you what, this is where I was going with this. My wife's not here, but she'll look at me from time to time. She says, I don't know how you turn out the way you did when I look at how your dad is. The only time she tells me that I act like my dad is when she knows that it'll make me mad. She does it on purpose. I said, you told me last week I'm nothing like him. Now you're telling me I'm like him. That's all because I won't let you go to the thrift store tonight. I see what it is. It's all right. I love you anyhow. I'm like God. My love's unconditional. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, it wasn't that I didn't want to be like daddy. Somebody made a change. Yeah. Somebody made a change. Amen. Yeah. You said, what are you going through all this? Listen, we do that all the time. We baby the devil. Yeah. Well, I got temper in my family. We got this kind of sickness in my family. Well, this runs in my family. Who's your family anyhow? That's not my family. My family is Almighty God. He's not my granddad. He's not my great granddad. He's not 40 generations back. I'm one generation removed from Almighty God himself. Amen. That's who I am. You want to know what my family looks like? My family walks down the street and people lay in their shadows and are healed. My family gets cast in the lion's den and the lion's mouths are shut. My family stands before burning bushes and talks to God and walks down the age of 80 and overthrows the kingdom of Egypt. It's a revolution, amen? Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, that's why I said I don't believe in petting devils. Is that right? Look, they go out on their own, they come back on their own. Is that right? Look, that I can't live like that, amen? I can't live with an open door policy with the devil. Amen. I tell you what, I've preached this before too, amen? You've heard this, amen? I said I love my family, amen? I love my parents. Well, I tell you what, I'll say it this way. I got a sister-in-law and a brother-in-law. They're traveling America in an RV. They done sold their home and they're living it up. And my brother-in-law has been gone for about 2 months there. He says, well, you know, I kind of miss having a home. So did David. That's why he wanted to have his own home. That's why he wanted to build God a home. So now everybody in the family is trying to figure out where they're going to live when they come back. I say, live in my house. He's saying, well, don't you care, brother? Hey, listen, I'm an adult. Okay, you might be my best friend in the whole world. I'm sleeping in my own bed tonight. I ain't sharing it with you. In my house. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Is that right? Listen, I don't have room for cohabitating with the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look, if I ain't going to let my own brother or sister live with me, I sure ain't going to let the devil live with me. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You keep that one. I don't know how you feel about that. But listen, there must be a distraction of the old way. Amen. The Bible says this in Galatians. He says, if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. I think so many times we try to rebuild on the things that we destroy in our life. We say, you know what? I'm going to forsake that. Well, praise the Lord. How many times you see people, they come to church and they get on fire for God. And I tell you what, you see some people, it's like New Year's resolutions. I mean, we're going to kick this out of the home. We're going to stop doing this. We're going to stop listening to this. And a week later, it's back in the home. Well, that's a resolution. That's a resolution. Didn't change your situation. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's what New Year's resolution is about. We're trying to fix this guy. Amen. Well, I'm going to fix this up. I'm going to make it. Quit trying to fix him. He is broke to begin with. You ain't going to fix him. That's why he needs a change. Amen. Look, God knows your frame, that you're but dust. That's why he's going to give you a new body. This one ain't good enough. So quit trying to fix it all the time. Listen, I'm not saying to go eat a bunch of ho-hos after church. Amen. I'm not saying not to, you know, not to go brush your teeth. Amen. I'm saying we try to change the way we are all the time. You can't do it. Only God can do it. And if God can't do it, you sure can't do it. Well, hallelujah. Paul said, I rejoice not that you were made sorry. He says, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. He says, godly sorrow. Now notice there's two types of sorrow here. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Boy, I don't think some people even know what that's like. To repent about something, never have to repent for it again. Well, I got deliverance. I got help from the Lord. I don't wrestle with this anymore. This used to be a thing in my life, and it's not a matter of, well, I've had a problem for a while. Well, I've been clean for 10 years. You can get to a place where it never is even in the equation again. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I tell you what, anybody ever been delivered? You know what I'm talking about. Can I get a witness tonight? Amen. There's a big difference between getting, just falling on the wagon or getting off the wagon, getting back on and off. Amen. There's a big difference when you're delivered. Amen. And it's gone. And it's eradicated. The old order is destroyed. Amen. A revolution has taken place. There's no addiction anymore. There's no temptation anymore. Well, hallelujah. He says, the sorrow of the world worketh death. Well, I've seen that in church before a few times too. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've seen it. I've seen where the sorrow of the world worketh. I tell you what, this is a little close to home, but you forgive me. I'm gonna go here anyway. Amen. I had a church I used to go to years ago. I won't say where. And I left this church. Amen. And there's a brother that goes there, and he come up to me one day and he asked me, he said, why did you leave this church? And why did you, you used to go, then you left the church. Why did you leave this church? I said, well, I've got several reasons, but this is the biggest reason. I said, I don't want my children to grow up thinking this is what church is like. You say, what do you mean, brother? What are you talking about? I said, I would go into church and I'd come out with more burdens. I'd go in there, I'd come out heavier. I'd come in there with a weight, I'd come out with more weight. I'd go in there with a burden, I'd come out with more burdens. I'd go in there unhappy, I'd come out miserable. I said, these things ought not be so. Amen. Let the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. You might wonder where your strength is gone. That's why. Amen. There's sorrow, but the sorrow of this world works death. We're just going to sit here and we're going to criticize and put people down on the time. Listen, it don't do me any good to diagnose your problem unless I give you the remedy. Listen, we just sit here and we want to bash each other and criticize all the time. That ain't doing me any good. You say, well, you get now. You do it to yourself. That's why you have New Year's resolutions. Because you look at yourself and say, well, I need to fix this. Then I got this wrong with me. Well, God ain't looking at that. Well, praise the Lord. You say, where are you getting at with all this? I want you to understand, I'm not trying to discourage you tonight. Listen, here's the thing. You say you're marginalizing my problems. You're trying to say I'm not going. No, that's not what I'm doing tonight. Amen. I'm not trying to marginalize your trials and your afflictions. Amen. I'm not trying to say it's not important or that's nothing. Amen. See, that's what we do. Praise the Lord. We get insecure. Well, the preacher's talking about me. Well, and we get defensive. That's not what I'm doing tonight, amen? See, this is the thing. I preached a sermon a while back about the weakest Christian, amen? I think I preached it here, amen? We always see ourselves as that person. Well, unless you're arrogant. Amen, unless you're that guy. We look at, when I talk about the weakest Christian or the weakest saint, we're that one. Well, I just, I wish I hadn't given like the preacher. I don't know who you're talking about tonight. I don't see where he's at here. Praise the Lord. I wish I had it together like so-and-so. I wish I had it like this. Look, they've got trials and so do you. And listen, no two people got the same trials. You might be going through the same kind of a thing, but two different people respond in two different ways. Amen? So look, you can't just say, well, I know what that's like or this or that. You don't know. Amen? You don't know what they're going through. Amen? But listen, I believe this, no matter what you're going through, God is still greater than it. Listen, my solution tonight is not to try to marginalize your problem or to make light of it or say it's not a big deal. No, the solution tonight is to say, I have a God, and that same God that brought me here tonight, that same God that delivered me from my past, that same God that delivered me from darkness, that same God that delivered me from addiction is the same God that can help you tonight. Amen. Well, hallelujah. I believe it. Amen. Listen, you're not the weak or the worst of Christians. You're the cream of the crop. Amen. You're the one that's full of faith and power and the Holy. Can I get an amen tonight? Full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God, full of virtue, full of praise, full of glory. That's me tonight, you say? Amen. Look, I've got problems, I've got trials, but you know what? I've got God on the inside. Amen. And greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. You say, where are you going with this, brother? Listen, this is why people do this. They go into New Year's and they make resolutions. You know why? Because they look back on the last year with regret. They look back at all the bad things that happened, all the mistakes they made, and they look at those things and say, I need to change this, amen? But I'm not going forward that way. I'm looking forward to what's to come, amen? I'm not looking at past failures. I'm looking at victory. I'm looking at testimonies. I'm looking at what God has done. And I'm saying, you know what? 2017 was a great year for me in the Lord, but 2018 is going to be even better. Amen. Because I'm either 1 year closer to rapture or I'm going in it, man. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've got something to look forward to. I'm not looking back. I'm forgetting the things that are behind. I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm not all shook up about what's going to happen. Amen. I know where I'm going. I'm going to millennium. Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody, y'all help me out. Now, listen, you got people in this world, and they've got every kind of problem. They've got all kinds of addiction and vice, and they're not even Christians. But you know what? They're going to have joy in about 3 days. They're going to watch a dumb ball drop with a bunch of lights on it, and they're going to shout, and they're going to dance, and they're going to get drunk, and they're going to make themselves look like a bunch of fools, amen, because of a dumb ball. But you know what? I've got something better that's dropped down for me. He has descended. The Lord himself has descended with a shout. The message of the hour. Look, I'm not going into 2018. I'm going into millennium. I'm going into a new heaven and a new earth. Let him get drunk and shout and praise. I've got a reason to praise. And it is because of 2018, God is here. Now listen, if they can run around like a bunch of idiots, and if they can shout and carry on, what we ought to be able to do tonight. Look, 2018 is here. I can look back and say, God has been faithful. I've had trials. I've had problems. So have we all. But God has been faithful every time. There's not one place I can look back on my calendar and say, God let me down that time. I tell you what, that's worth more to me than a ball in Times Square. That's worth more to me than a New Year's Eve party somewhere with a bunch of drunken heathens. Amen. I've got God on the inside. I've got a testimony. God has been faithful. Something is taking place inside of me that I don't have to worry about what year it is. It's not going to go away. I'm not turning over a new leaf and it's going back the next year the same way. Amen. What's taking place on the inside of me, it has a beginning but no end. Look, I can point to a time in my life that started but didn't really start there. It's eternal. It never did begin. And praise God. Whenever you're ready to give up, when you say, I don't know how God can still love me, I don't know how I can go on, it'll never end. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell you what, that beats a bunch of General Electric bulbs in a ball somewhere, don't it? Listen, praise the Lord. They're going to have big crowds getting together. You say, we don't have a big crowd. You don't need a big crowd. Listen, I praise God just as much by myself as I do in front of a crowd. Amen. Yeah. See, that's the problem. Some people get that. Well, they get New Year's Eve mentality. I don't know. I'm going to make a doctrine out of that now. They get New Year's Eve syndrome, amen. Well, I can only praise God when there's a big crowd around. Well, if there's 1,000 people here tonight, I can praise God. I tell you what, I praise them out there with a squirrel chattering at me around a tree just as much as I praise them in church, amen. I don't need a bunch of people to prop me up. I mean, I'm not praising them. I'm praising God. Look, I'm not here for a party. I'm here to worship God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Satisfied with him. Amen. Amen. And you know what? This is really strange to me. But he's satisfied with me. He's satisfied. And then he looks at the blood of Jesus Christ and I'm satisfied. That's my handiwork. That's my child. I don't see one fault. Amen. I ain't looking. Oh, hallelujah. Look, God has ordained things in your life to get you in an image that he saw. And that image is a perfect predestinated image. That image that he saw that you're going to take on, whether you want to or not. That image is perfect. You can't add to it. And you can't take away from it. And his love for you, you can't add to it or take away from that either. I tell you what. The only thing that you do that impresses God is you being you. Because God made you. He looks at you. You know what? In the book of Genesis, he makes the fowls there and the beasts of the field. He says, that's good. That's good. But when his creation was finished, he said, that's very good. Listen, you're not some patched up job. You're not some resolution made manifest. You're not just fixed up. Amen. You're a new creation. And you don't lack one thing, the Bible says. God looks and says, that's very good. That's very good. I'm going to take a picture of that. Put it in my mind before the foundation of the world. One day I'll show it to you. Yep. Well, I'll tell you what. There's going to be some pictures on New Year's Eve people are going to take. They ain't going to want to see it afterwards. Devil likes to take pictures of your life and says, oh, you see that time you did that? See that time I caught you doing that? I got a whole photo album. God says, but I've got a picture. Yeah. Oh, my. I tell you what. God's got a picture. A Praise the Lord. Brother Bam says this. He says, let's not make resolutions. Here's a real good idea. Let's not make resolutions. Let's ask for mercy and grace. Ask for God's mercy. If we just stand to our feet for a moment, I try not to keep you too long tonight. Or if we just have a moment of prayer, just stay in your seats and just pray to yourself. If you want me to pray with you, I can as well. Maybe there's things in your life you struggle with and you say, you know what, I wish I didn't have to deal with this anymore. I wish I didn't wrestle with this. Let's ask for mercy. Let's ask for grace. Let's not beat ourselves up. Listen, don't beat yourself. God, don't beat his bride. Why would you beat yourself? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I tell you what. I've seen it before. These women, I know this one woman, she was in this relationship. She's trying to blame her husband and her kids, and she done beat herself so she could place blame on this other, her husband and relationship, and leave her husband this and that. And they found out about this course in the courts and stuff. Amen. Don't be that one. I don't want to beat myself. Amen. Don't make him like he's not a good savior. You know, that's what it is. We sit here and we complain all the time about what we go through. What kind of a savior you got anyway?
Sure.
Amen. Well, you know, I got so much harder than everybody else. Don't he love you?
Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Listen, I don't want to present the kind of an image of my savior. I want to tell, and listen, again, I'm not marginalizing that you go through things. Listen, I've got confidence. I've got confidence in this one that's doing it, amen? You got confidence, don't you?
Yeah.
That's why you're here tonight, amen? Listen, I don't have to sit there and testify about the devil.
Amen.
On a New Year's Eve service. Well, the devil did this, and the devil did that, and the devil did this. The devil can't do nothing to me. Except God gives him permission first. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. He's been too good to me. Listen, my husband is not an abusive husband. Praise the Lord, somebody. He don't beat me. He don't chew me out. Well, hallelujah. Some of you all are like, what are you talking about? Listen, like it's like I said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Some people, well, hallelujah. Some people are so miserable. Godly sorrow, is that right? Works death. That's why they sit in church. That's why they're miserable. That's why they do that to themselves. Amen. They've never encountered that kind of a God. Well, praise the Lord.
Sure thing.
They need an encounter. Amen. God's always breathing down their neck, and God's always this and that. I tell you what, if anybody had a reason to think God's disappointed him, it would be me. But you know what I found out? He loved me anyhow. His grace is just that much greater than I thought it was.
Amen.
Hey, man, that's like I said earlier. I thought he had this much grace for me. But when I messed up, as a Christian, I said, boy, I've done it this time. How could God ever use me? I found there was just that much more grace. You see, it's win-win for the Christian. It really is. We've been ordained to victory. That means you can't lose. It's win-win.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I believe that. Do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
Well, let's just bow our heads. I know I've been kind of lighthearted tonight, but I'd like to be solemn just a moment. You know, we do wrestle with things in our life. And some of us even lose sleep over it, and we worry. We suffer vexation of spirit. We struggle. And you know, the world does that same sort of a thing. And their godly, worldly sorrow, it doesn't help them one bit. And it don't help us either. We try to fix ourselves. We wonder, why do I have to be this way? Why am I this kind of personality? Why do I wrestle with this? I don't know all the answers tonight, but I know one that does. And I'm convinced that he has me exactly where he wants me. He's got a timetable, and he's always right on time. I might think there's things in my life I'm struggling with. I wish I could get over this. God says, I've got it right on time. I have the situation exactly in hand. You might not be where you want to be or what you ought to be, but I've got you right where I want you. You might not feel comfortable there tonight. You might not even like it tonight. But if you can accept it as the grace of God in your life and ask him for mercy and for grace tonight, I believe he can meet you where you're at. I believe that all things tonight work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. As you have your heads bowed tonight, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I hope there's one out there tonight who raised their hand and said, what that preacher said, I believe that. I've been so troubled over my lot in life. I've seen sickness, I've seen doubt, I've seen faithlessness. I've seen hostility towards the word. Maybe my job situation's taking a downturn. Maybe school, maybe different things. Lord, we get so fearful for the morrow, but it's in your hands. And more so, we are in your hands. Lord, I learned that I'm learning as I go on. Your grace for me, I can't wear it out. Oh, Lord, I never want to try it, but I could never exhaust your mercy for me. Lord, the hand of God that has followed me, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Lord, I'm overwhelmed by your loving kindness to me. Lord, I could be overwhelmed by my trials. I could be overwhelmed with my self-doubt and my loathing. But Lord, I've become overwhelmed by something else. I'm overwhelmed by the vision of love and mercy and grace that you've had for me. Lord, to see the hand of God, the love that you've had for me, I'm alive. I'm overwhelmed, God. What could I say or do but thank you and give you praise? Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, these things I let bother me. I let them take my peace that you paid for. I let them take my worth when you gave me worth. My dignity, my feeling about myself, Lord. I get so down and defeated and so troubled, but you paid for peace. You paid for joy. You paid for righteousness. You declare that we are worthy. That the world's not worthy of us. Lord, may we not be so careless. May we not think of you as that one that does not care. Lord, you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Lord, I've looked at what you've done in my life, and I can say, this is very good. Lord, I might not have the fanciest house or the fastest car, but I've got somebody that loves me. I've got somebody that loves me. The very maker of heaven and earth. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He makes the lightnings to flash, the rains to fall and to cease. And he says, above all those things, I love you. I love you more than all these things. And my love for you will never exhaust itself. It will never end. Lord, may we set our affections on things above. And remember tonight that you thought we were worth the price that you paid for us. Sometimes we don't think it, but you said that we were worth that price. It was worth it to you to suffer for the joy that was set before you. We are the, as David said, keep me as the apple of thy eye. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love tonight. Lord, the things that we struggle with tonight, may we just commit them unto you as a loving and faithful creator, knowing that you are able. You are more than able to accomplish what concerns me today. We thank you, Lord, tonight. Bless your people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Mercy, mercy, root of my life. Oh, mercy, reign my life. For I should have fallen, my soul cast down. But mercy rewrote my life. Don't leave here with a burden tonight. Lay it down and walk out free. For mercy rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. For I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. For I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Are you in G or F? Let me key G. I'm going to sing a song in your songbooks. It's number 35. And I know as a rule of thumb, we try to avoid three threes songs here because they're so challenging. But I would like to sing this song tonight. And I hope you feel that way. I hope you don't go out of here downcast, but I hope you feel lifted tonight because that's how you ought to feel. Amen. You ready? Praise the Lord.
Oh, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I, for his love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, for his love lifted me, love lifted me. Love lifted me, and all my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. For it's love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. For love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Are you thankful for that tonight? Praise the Lord. Well, fill my way every day with love. Oh, as I walk with the heavenly dove. Oh, and let me go all the while with a song and a smile. I fill my way every day with, one more time. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove. as my Savior, I shall not be. In His love and favor,
in His love and favor, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Oh, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be. I shall not be. I shall not be moved.
Amen.
I shall not be. I shall not be moved, just like a tree.
Oh, yes.
That's planted by the waters. Shall not be
in my Christ abiding.
Oh, in my Christ abiding.
In His love I'm hiding.
Oh, in His love I'm hiding. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water.
Oh, no, I shall not be moved. Let the devil hear you tonight.
Oh, no, I shall not be. I shall not be moved.
Let God hear you tonight.
I shall not be. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not.
Though the tempest rages.
And though the tempest rages, I shall not. For I'm on the rock of ages, and I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree that's planted by the waters. Oh, I shall not be.
Though all hell assail me,
and though all hell assail me,
Jesus will not fail me.
Jesus will not fail me. And I shall not be moved, just like a tree.
Amen.
That's planted by the waters. Oh, I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Oh, no, I shall not be moved.
Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be,
I shall not be moved.
Oh, no,
I shall not be, I shall not be moved.
I think we just need to get rid of the wishbone there a little bit. Amen. Put a backbone in there. Is that right? Yeah. Let the devil know I'm going to tear you up 2018 too.
Amen.
So you might as well let me go now.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody, you feel that way tonight? Amen. Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the grace of God tonight. We'll sing another song as we dismiss. We'll keep that same key there. Go in the fear of God. Remember, you're important to God tonight. Amen. And then we'll dismiss tonight.
Well, I've got a river of life flowing out of me.
What's it do?
It makes the lame to walk.
Oh, yes.
And the blind to see. And it opens prison doors.
God bless you tonight.
Oh, yes, I've got a river of life flowing out.
Spring up.
Spring up, oh, well. Within my soul, spring up, oh well, and make me whole, spring up, oh well.
Hallelujah!
Oh, that life abundantly,
spring up, oh well,
spring up, oh well. Within my soul, spring up, oh well. Oh well, and give to me
a life. One more time, I've got a river of life. river of life. Amen, brother.
Of me, and it makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, and it opens prison doors, sets the captives free.